Yeah, see, that's the extended desktop.
Right.
It doesn't say, it won't cycle through there.
There's only three sections, the extended, regular.
Probably going to have to bail here and just deal with it. This is just a start in a minute.
Changing through the options. This is Hayden.
I may be stuck with that.
Just make sure that we'll drag between them. Let's see.
Yeah, and like I say, when you uncheck this,
yeah,
it decides it's not attached anymore, which is stupid.
Very much so.
Oh, my laptop's not, but it's not an issue with the. It's not. I mean, it's just the laptop is insisting on extending onto the monitor, so I'm just going to have to deal with it and talk to the screen, unfortunately.
May I?
Sure. Huh, you got it. That was easy. Like Staples.
I've seen that particular problem more times than I can tell you.
Cool.
All
right, yeah, good. Thank you.
You're
I appreciate
very
it.
Not a problem.
What's your name?
Christopher.
Christopher, thank you so much. Okay, I think it is time for me to start now. So let's see, we got the mic going? We good to go? Okay, good. Well, my name is Josh Adams, and I am going to be presenting now introduction to object-oriented. Apparently, we do have a problem with the mic. It's on. Okay. Not picking me up? Hold on. No, actually, Christopher, who has walked out, knew what to press and got it to work. So he was a lifesaver, because now I can look at you and not back here. We good to go on the mic?
Yeah.
All right, excellent. Okay, so my name is Josh Adams, and this is Introduction to Object-Oriented Programming for CFML Developers. Couple of things. Number one, thanks for staying to the last session. That's awesome. I hope you get something out of this. If you have questions that we're not able to get to today, definitely let me know. Who was at Jeff Peters' session two sessions ago on OO stuff? Okay. I had talked to him and asked him to mention that this will be a little bit different. We're going to cover some of the same concepts, but I'm going to try to make it practical. The conceptual stuff is very, very important, but he was staying at that level. And so hopefully with that, you can take what we're going to do here and put it into practice in CFML. All right, so my name is Josh Adams. This is my contact information. This slideshow will be available to you, and I will give you a card if you would like one. I'd be more than happy to talk with you further about any of this stuff. I am the developer evangelist for Blue Dragon at New Atlanta Communications. This slideshow is not about Blue Dragon, so we won't talk about it extensively. I do have a bunch of slides at the end that we probably won't get to. There are some Blue Dragon-specific features I will be talking about at the end, but if you're a Cold Fusion user, there should be some stuff here that will apply to you just as well as if you're a Blue Dragon user. For those who aren't familiar, Blue Dragon is a CFML application server platform that is, in some regards, similar to Cold Fusion, but it's something that is separate from Cold Fusion and has no relation to it. But I am a CFML developer by background. I am a past president of the Atlanta Cold Fusion User Group and a regular speaker at these kinds of things. So I put the user group stuff in here because there's probably user groups in your area. And so I hope you guys will go if you haven't before, because you get this kind of great information and it's free. And you usually get free pizza and a lot of great stuff like that too. And when I come to visit, I bring stuff. And I brought free stuff to give away here today too. So we'll try to get to that. If you have questions, ask them. If I can't get to them, I will get to them later on. I may make some notes here and get back to you if you give me your contact information. All right, let's jump into it. OO background. OO is object-oriented programming, also known as OOP. We'll talk about what that means, but that's just the when we say OO, what we mean is object-oriented programming. All right, so the motivation behind object-oriented programming is to provide flexibility and maintainability to code. So that's why OO exists and why it is used. All right, so it is designed to ease code reuse and to give you reliability and ease of application modification through decreased code modification, instead increased code addition. So the point is to, if you design a OO application properly, you can touch code that you have tested very little once it gets tested, and you can just add new code as the need dictates. So the guiding principle is code modularity. All right, so, and then you say, well, my code isn't OO, and it's pretty flexible, maintainable, and modular. Okay, so let's start with what we know, which is functional procedural programming. That's interesting. Okay, so the transition's a little bit off here, but functional procedural programming paradigm is a collection of functions or procedures. We don't have procedures, per se, in CFML, but a function that returns no result is effectively a procedure. And functions can be thought of as actors. They act on variables. Functions do the work of the program. Okay, so let's take a look at a simple example. So let's look at some code. And let me go ahead and close all these. So this demo code will be available. It's not particularly useful, but hopefully it will demonstrate the points that I am trying to make here. All right, so a functional approach. I've got a page that I'm going to call, and this is probably too small, so let me make that a little bit bigger. Edit, sorry. Fonts. Let's move that up to 12. Okay, can you read that? Is that okay? All right, good. Well, that'll make it easier to read. Can you guys still write and see? Okay, so that's not too dark. Okay, good. All right, so we have this page here. It's called sunlight.cfm. That's still small. We can call that in a browser. Now, it's going to include our page of functions, right? Do you guys do this? You put your functions in, you know, templates, and you include the pages of functions, right? That's a common thing done in procedural or functional code. And then we're going to output the result of a particular function we're going to call. It's called emit sunlight. So let's take a look over here at the functions page. All right, so here it is. Let me make this a little bit bigger so we can see more. We have a function that we're calling. It's called emit sunlight. And it does some stuff to, in this case, emit sunlight, okay? Now, one of the things it does is it calls another function, and that's down here. That's this perform fusion function, right? That's how the sun creates light, is it uses fusion. All right, so this is just the device used for example purposes here. But does this look pretty familiar? You guys are used to seeing this. Maybe you use CF script, but you're writing functions like this. And, you know, eventually your function's going to return something. If it doesn't return something, that would be effectively a procedure. You don't have to have a return. Okay, so when we run this code, it's not going to do anything particularly exciting. Let me go home here. It's just going to simply output this light onto the screen. That's the OO. I need to be in the procedural part. My mistake. Okay, so I can call this file sunlight.cfm, and it's going to output onto the screen just this, you know, that's the sun outputting light in energy, in watts, right? So, or I guess that's energy per time for people who are physics people. But anyway, that is you know, simple functional code. Now, we're going to come back to that in a second. But I just wanted to kind of put that out there so we have a starting point. Let's move back over to the slideshow. Oops. This is it. And let's talk about OO. Okay, the OO programming paradigm, instead of being a collection of functions, is a collection of objects. We'll talk about what objects are, because obviously we need to know what objects are in order to have that statement make any meaning to us. An object is a thing, and this is something that Jeff talked about extensively in his presentation. It's more precisely a representation of a thing. So it has characteristics, and we call these attributes or properties. Now, properties are just variables rebranded. So the properties of an object are kept in variables. And a way to think about this, as Jeff mentioned, is those things which the thing has, or those characteristics, those attributes, those properties that something has. Okay, so has is the key word there. It also has behaviors, and we call these methods. They're just functions rebranded, and they are those things which this particular thing does. Okay, so think of, when you think of characteristics or you think of properties, is the terminology that I'll use here. You think of things which an object has. When you think of behaviors, methods, is what the term I'll use here. Those are the things which an object does. All right. So the thing about methods is they're just functions, and they still do the work in OO. But now they just know what they need to know, and they generally contain less code. And we'll see as I move through a demo what I mean by that stuff. But they don't have to know as much. They just have to know what they need to know for the particular object, not for every possible similar type of object that may have similar functionality but may do it in a different way. Now, objects in CFML, how do we create them? This is where we start to get a little more practical. A CFML object is an instance of a CFC. Okay, does everybody know what a CFC is? Well, we'll talk about that in just a second. It's an instance, but before we get to that, an instance is a particular representation in memory. So what that means is a CFC is this, it's a cold fusion component. It's a text file with the extension CFC, the contents of which are CFML, surrounded by the CF component opening and closing tags. Now, my understanding is those are not required by CFMX. They are required by Blue Dragon, sort of an aside. But you've got your CFC, which is going to define these characteristics and these methods, so these properties and these methods. And the object itself is an instance where we're taking those definitions and we're actually making a memory representation of that stuff. So, therefore, CFCs are the building block of object-oriented CFML. They are blueprints for objects. This is something else that Jeff mentioned in his presentation. So in the same way that a blueprint for a physical object defines what the object will look like and what it can do, a CFC defines what a virtual object looks like and what it can do. So note that just as one blueprint can be used to create many physical objects, as many as you want, can be created off the same blueprint, so can a CFC be used to create multiple virtual objects. And that's why we talk about an instance in memory. So each one of those created instances is an object. Many of them can be created from the same CFC. And so for those of you who have heard about classes, CFCs are essentially the CFML equivalent of that stuff, of classes. Okay, so what's in a CFC? Well, we know it's CFML. It's got a specification of the properties of objects that are created from the CFC, and it's got the definition of the methods of the objects that are created from the CFC. Again, think what something has and what something can do. Has is properties. What it can do is its methods. All right, so now let's take a look at a simple example. Are we doing okay so far? Is this making sense? All right, that's good. All right, so that's not where I wanted to go. Okay, so there was our procedural code. Let's look at a very simple example, the same thing done using OO. Now, I've still got my file called sunlight.cfm here, but now instead of including a page of functions, I'm going to use createObject, which is a function in CFML. You can also use the CF object tag. I'm just using the create object function. It doesn't matter. But I'm going to use that function to create an instance of the CFC that is called sun. That's what this is doing right here. Now, we'll look at sun in a second. But I'm creating this instance and I'm putting it into a variable called variables.thesun. Okay? Now, the difference in what happens when I call the difference in getting the sunlight onto the screen is, instead of calling a function, I'm going to call a method on this object. And the method is going to be called emitSunlight, which is the same thing the function was called in the functional code, right? It's just that now it's part of the object. And so the syntax is, I reference my variable, variables.thesun, and then I call the method. Again, that's just a function. We'll look at that in just a second. And so I'm going to call the emitSunlight method. All right, so we'll go and we'll look at sun.cfc. And in here, we're going to see what I talked about a little bit ago. CF component, opening and closing tags here, top and bottom. And then I've got the sun's properties at the top. I'll turn this to the presenter mode. I got the sun's properties at the top, and then I've got the methods below that. And emitSunlight is still going to call this perform fusion function. So that stuff hasn't changed fundamentally. The difference is I'm not passing in arguments now. I'm just using these properties of the CFC. But I could still pass in arguments. I just don't have to, because this is all one object and it has methods and it has properties, and I can reference the properties from the methods. So when we run this, we're going to see that we get the exact same thing that we got when we ran the procedural version of it. So I'm going to come back here to 00. I'm going to run sunlight.cfm, and I'm going to get this same output. So at this point, you probably don't see a compelling reason to approach 00 if you haven't already. Now, I'm going to go through some stuff here in a minute that hopefully will give you an idea of why it can be useful for you and why thinking in this way can make your code easier to maintain. And that's a key motivation behind using this and behind the creation of 00. All right, so let's look back at the PowerPoint presentation. I guess it is that one. Okay, so I want to talk about some OO concepts that we've kind of touched on at this point, but I just want to go ahead and define them. Abstraction, that's the grouping together in a CFC, those properties and methods that define an object. So we have the sun, and we put in there all these properties that, you know, are properties of the sun, and then we put in there all these methods that are important for the sun. Now, in my example, I don't have all the properties of the sun. I don't have all the things that the sun can actually do. If you really wanted to create a better virtual representation of the sun, you'd have more properties and you'd have more methods. So another concept that's important to know is encapsulation. And encapsulation is information hiding. That's what that is. It's putting the properties and methods in a CFC and exposing only those that need to be accessible outside the CFC, otherwise hiding all the implementation details of the CFC. So this is an important concept, and this presentation here isn't going to touch on it much more outside of this, but here's what I want to be clear about. For simplicity, these CFC examples are going to use the this scope. Now that makes the properties accessible externally to the CFC. So when you create an object that uses the this scope to create properties, those properties are accessible, as we saw earlier, I don't think we did see it here. We'll see in a little bit. But those are accessible via direct reference. So I can, if my object is called variables.thesun, I can say dot whatever property I've created in the this scope, I can assign values to it, and I can reference values in it. Do you have a question? Okay, and so you want to be careful with that in practice. You will hear people talking about, in fact, Jeff talked about getter and setter methods. If you assign something to the variable scope, then it's going to be It's going to be accessible only, it's private to the CFC, or to the object, I should say, and it's going to be accessible only via public getter and setter methods that you can create to control access to it. Okay, so those are two important concepts that we kind of touched on, but I wanted to define formally here, because you'll hear people talk about them in regards to OO. All right, so the power of OO is code flexibility, maintainability, and modularity. But how is that different from functional or procedural code? All right, so let's look back at our simple functional / procedural example. And before, we only had one light source, and now we want to add another. Okay, so how do we do that? So this is a situation where we had a light source. That was great, but we needed to add another one. So let's look down here. Let me close these. All right, so now instead of having this page, sunlight.cfm, I just have a page called light.cfm. This is a change in the requirements of my program. And I'm still going to include my template functions.cfm, and I'm still going to do my emit sunlight call. But I'm also going to now do an emit bulb light call. Okay? And the sunlight call, the sun's properties don't change, so I'm not passing values to it, but we all know that incandescent bulbs have different properties. Okay, so I'm going to pass a structure that represents an incandescent bulb to this function emit bulb light. Okay, so I create a structure and I create all these keys that are the properties of the incandescent bulb, and then I call this emit bulb light function. So that's the changes on this page. The changes over here on functions.cfm are no changes to this emit sunlight function. That didn't change. Right? So that's good. I didn't have to go touch that code. No changes to this perform fusion function. That didn't change. I didn't have to change that. But I've added this emit bulb light function, and I've added this run AC function because, well, an incandescent bulb, you could use DC, but you've got to pass current through a filament to generate light using an incandescent bulb, right? So it's a different process. So I do whatever I need to do. I mean, these are just silly actual implementations, but I do whatever I need to do inside of these functions in order to create bulb light. It's a different process than creating sunlight, right? Okay, so there's nothing wrong with this per se, right? But there's some things that we're doing here in both cases that are common, right? You see that this line here, line 14, looks eerily similar to line 38. Now, those are just one line, and they're just representative of the fact that there can be some common things we do for like functionality, right? So again, those are just kind of silly implementations, but it could have been 100 lines of code that happened to all be the same. Well, we don't want to duplicate that, right? Right? We like code reuse. Code reuse is good. Okay, so maybe you would use cfinclude. You put that all those 100 lines all off in a file, and you'd use cfinclude. That'd be one way to do that. That can be useful. Can make your code a little hard to read sometimes, but it's not necessarily a bad thing. What about this? Let's take a look at another, and I can run that example, and we'll see that runs just fine. I'll go ahead and jump over here to the number 2 directory under procedural, and when I call this light, now I get the output of 3 different lights on the screen, okay? But let's look at another way that we might do this. This is probably somewhat common for you. Both an incandescent bulb and the sun emit light, right? Right? So they may do it a different way, but they both emit light. So wouldn't it make sense to create a function called emitLight that can handle the emission of light from either an incandescent bulb or the sun? Does that make sense? Right? Okay, so if I did that, then I would need that function to know what kind of light source it's dealing with. And so I'd need to use some conditional code. And I've done that right in here. I've got this conditional... Let me go ahead, because that's kind of long. I tend to use long variable names because it makes them easy to search and it makes them easy to understand when you read them. I'm going to pass in my light source. Again, that's a structure. We saw that with the incandescent bulb. No change there. And now I'm going to, when I get down here to determining how I'm actually going to generate the light, I'm going to use some conditional statements. I'm going to say if the light generation method, which is a new attribute I'm using now, is fusion, then I'm going to perform fusion. If it's resistance, then I'm going to run AC. Okay, so I'm going to do something different based on the different type of light source I'm dealing with. Make sense? All right. So then, farther down the page, I'm going to have my perform fusion function is going to be here, my run AC function. Those haven't really changed. They're pretty much the same as they were before. And I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to create now a display light function. Now, I didn't have to do that. I could have just left that all in that one light there, one line there. But since it was a consolidated bit of functionality, I went ahead and put it in its own method. You know, because again, I'm trying to get good code reuse, and maybe I need that somewhere else some other time. So I don't want to stick it up here in the emit light function and make it only usable here. Okay, so does that make sense how we're kind of refactoring the code to make it a little more usable, a little more reusable? So I come back over here. I'm going to run, this is now the third version of this, and I get the same output from this. And I didn't show you the calling page, but this page here is, this hasn't changed much at all. The only difference is now my properties for the sun, since the sun is now just any other light source, I'm going to have to pass those into my emit light function. Okay, so the final thing is going to be, as we see from back over here in the slideshow. Now, how do we add another light source? Something completely new. Somebody comes along and says, oh, you now need to have this light source available in your program. Well, we're going to do that pretty easily at this point, right? Because we've already got our conditional logic and everything. We just got to go back and add a new conditional for our new light source, right? Does that make sense? Okay, so let's look at this version of light.cfm. I'm going to close that. And close that one. And in here, we're going to see these same structures, the sun, incandescent bulb 1, incandescent bulb 2. And now we're going to see the moon. And its light generation method says fusion. That's a mistake. It should be, that's what you get for copying and pasting. Excuse me. So that's actually going to be reflection, all right? That's what the moon, that's how the moon doesn't really generate light, it just reflects it. But we're going to call that a light generation method in this particular case. So my last version of this file had this stuff up here. I said, okay, I need to do the moon. I created a new structure, a new light generation method, all the same properties, and then I called the emit light function. Now, what did I have to change in my functions file? I had to change, exactly, I had to change just the emit light function that I'm calling, and I had to add an else if, exactly, right here for reflection. And then, because that is a different process, I had to add the function to do that in there. But that's just a code addition process. There's nothing wrong with that. If it's got to be done a different way and I haven't written code to do it, I'm going to have to write the code. So I come down here and there's my reflect light source. But the problem with this isn't reflect light source. The problem here is that I had to change this code here that was already tested. Now, has anybody ever encountered problems where he or she introduced new bugs to a program that used to work fine in an area that used to work fine by having to modify code? Okay, so the goal behind COO is to allow you to have to do as little code modification as possible. And we'll see that if we implement this basic example in a particularly, foresightful way, we can avoid that to an extent. Okay. Now, you again can think back and you can say, well, now what I could have done is I could have just not used this emit light function and not used code reuse. Or maybe I would have used code reuse, but I would use cf includes to do it, okay, to go and pull in my common code into my functions. That'd be a way to do that. And then I wouldn't have had to go back and touch previously tested code. That's true. OO is maybe just a more elegant way to do it. And once you get your head around to thinking in that manner, I think it's a more intuitive way to do it. It's a little bit easier to see what's going on in your code. And that's important, especially if somebody else has to go back and maintain your code. But if you're like me, you write code that when you go back to it months later, it confuses you, even if you commented it pretty well. So, you know, it's always good to have code that's intuitive. All right, so let's jump back over to PowerPoint here for a second. Okay, so let's talk about OO code maintenance. Let's do the same thing. We had one light source, but now we want to add another. And we're going to start just like we did in the other example by simply adding a new, in this case, CFC, which is the equivalent in a sense, not completely analogous, but is the OO equivalent in a sense of adding a new function that doesn't share anything. Like when we originally added the new function for the incandescent bulb that didn't share the commonalities of emit light that we went back and refactored it into, that's what we're going to do here first, just to show an analogous process. So if we go and we take a look at this page here, this is the page that calls our new, our existing Sun CFC, which is right here. This has not changed from the first example we looked at. So this is good. We're not changing code. Again, that's nice. But what we've added is incandescent bulb.cfc. And it looks very much like the Sun CFC, except for when we create properties this time, we have to dummy them up because we're gonna set the properties for each individual incandescent bulb object that we create. Yeah, well, we're not going to pass them in this particular case. You could call getter and setter objects, but we're not going to pass them in. We're just going to directly set them. And that's what you see right here. We're going to create this object, incandescent bulb, okay? And if I make that go over there so we can see a little more code. We're going to create this object, incandescent bulb, the same way we created the sun. This time, it's a different type. We're then able to access the properties of that object as in the same manner we would keys of a structure. So we can set them right here. And so, again, getters, setters, there's no such thing as a true constructor in CFML, but you can use the pseudo, not the pseudo constructor, but the sort of the replacement for the constructor. The convention is the init method. Not going to talk about that today. Definitely a good thing to know about. If you have questions, I'll be happy to talk to you about those later. So I'm going to create two bulbs here, just like I did two bulb structures, but these are now bulb objects. And so when I want to emit light from them, I call the emit bulb light method now. Same deal as in my procedural code, my emit bulb light function, but now it's a method of a object, okay? And we'll look at the incandescent bulb object. Again, we've got these dummy properties. We've got emit bulb light, this method, and then we've got run AC. So at this point, does it look much like I just kind of ported over what I was doing in the procedural code and I'm doing it a little bit differently, but there's no major, you know, difference here. You're not seeing anything that you love. Because at this point, this isn't earth-shattering stuff. But we'll go ahead and run that. And we'll jump back into the OO stuff. And when we run this file, we see the output onto the screen, okay? Not, again, particularly compelling stuff. But let's say that we realize that, okay, this isn't particularly good either. Just like in the functional code where we had emit light, and we said emit light is something that both the sun and an incandescent bulb and later on the moon, any light source can do, and it's going to have some common stuff. What if we take that perspective on the OO side, that there is common stuff that any light source should be able to do? Well, if we're thinking in our procedural frame of mind, we might try to port that code over too, and we would end up with a file that looks something like this. We're going to have this function now emit light, and inside of here you can see that we have our conditional stuff again. Okay? Now, if we took this approach and we wanted to add another light source, we still got to go back and touch this code, right? So that's why this is not the best approach to take. And we'll get to that in just a moment. Let me jump back over to this PowerPoint presentation and say there has to be a better way than that. There has to be a better way we can reuse code efficiently, and there has to be a way we can associate similar related objects. Well, those two purposes dovetail. And so here's a couple more OO concepts that are important to know. Inheritance. That's the derivation of CFCs from other CFCs. The derived CFCs inherit the properties and methods of the base CFCs. So we'll see this in action in just a second. But it's this concept that any light source has some things in common, and if I can just figure out what those things they have in common are, I can say, okay, light source is a type of object, and sun and incandescent bulbs, they're also objects, but they are objects that I can derive from this light source object. So this is the parent or the base object, and these are the derived or the child objects. Does that make sense conceptually? All right. So now we saw that emit light is something that needs to be done differently for the sun and for an incandescent bulb. So if I have this method, emit light, in my parent CFC, what's it going to do in these derived CFCs? How am I going to implement that? I'm going to use my conditionals again? Then I'm going back to the same old place I don't want to go back to. Well, one way to handle that would be to override the method in the derived CFC. And what that means is to redefine it. And so you would create a function declaration, a method declaration for emit light in the child CFCs, in the one for sun and the one for incandescent bulb and any other type that you were extending, which is the keyword we'll see here in a second. So you can do that. We're not going to take that approach. But inheritance aids in code reuse, because the common stuff you only write one time, but you have access to it in any of the CFCs that are derived from that one time, that parent CFC in which you wrote it. Does that make sense conceptually? Sound good? Okay, good. The key word for inheritance in CFML is extends, and so we'll see how we use that in the CF component tag. But note that a CFC can only extend one other CFC. There's another concept called polymorphism. I don't have time to spend much time on today, but different objects having the same methods, which may do different things, can be substituted for one another. And so this is, if I just ask you for a light source, you can give me the sun, you can give me an incandescent bulb, but I know that in either case, I can make it emit light. So that's utilizing polymorphism. Okay? Now, here's why we're not going to have to override a CFC. And this is the part, override a method. And this is the part where we get into some Blue Dragon specific stuff. And this is abstract CFCs. As you see at the very bottom of this, as I almost fall off the stage, at the very bottom here, this is a new feature of Blue Dragon 7. Blue Dragon 7 is the newest version of Blue Dragon, which is about to come out. It's in beta right now. You can download it and use abstract CFCs at this time. Okay, so... And again, I didn't do my slide transitions quite right. But what this allows me to do is have my base CFC define that any and all derived CFCs, any child CFCs, must have particular methods, but it doesn't have to define what the implementation is. So I can create a light source CFC that says all light sources must emit light, but it doesn't have to say how it's done. Does that make sense at a conceptual level? Right? Because the sun does it in a different way from how an incandescent bulb does. Okay? Now here's some things to know about an abstract CFC. It can't be instantiated directly. The reason why is because that method that defines that all extending or derived CFCs must, you know, have this, it doesn't do anything in the abstract CFC. So you can't instantiate it directly. You cannot use create object on an abstract CFC. How it is defined? It's defined using the CF component type abstract. So you've got this attribute for CF component of type, and you put abstract in there. It's got one or more abstract methods. Well, what's an abstract method? It's a CF function with the type of abstract. And it can also contain fully implemented methods. And it's a new feature of BlueDragon 7. Now, I'm going to show you this in just a second, but I want to talk about one other thing, too, that's also a new feature in BlueDragon 7. And that is, again, my slide transition didn't work quite right, but that is interfaces. Interfaces allow you to use multiple inheritance. We said that each CFC can only extend one other CFC. This is still true with an interface, but you can implement as many interfaces as you want. So let's say, and I'll show you this in a little bit, let's say that I have an interface that is called UV radiation. And I want to say that the sun gives off UV radiation. I can implement UV radiation. I can also implement heat. What it allows me to do is, this is the most important thing here is, it allows me to have my object validate as the type of any of the interfaces they implement. So if you ever use the isObject function, which is a function in CFML, or you use the CF argument type equals attribute, you can say in there that the type must be a particular type of CFC. It must be a light source. It must be an incandescent bulb. It must be the sun. It must be UV radiation. Well, or UV radiator would be probably a better name for that. By implementing an interface, you're able to have an object validate as that type. And so that can be powerful because it allows you to know that any, again, if as long as you're implementing an interface or extending a CFC, you are going to have the methods defined by that CFC you're extending or by that interface that you are implementing. So what I know then is if you validate as that type of interface, that you have the methods that that interface defines. So you can emit UV radiation if you validate as a UV radiation object. Okay? So I'll show you that in just a second. Things to know here also can't be instantiated directly. It's defined using the CF component type equals interface, and it contains only abstract methods. All right, so let's look back at our simple O example, and let's use an abstract CFC and then see how easy it is to add another light source. Okay, so if you are using Cold Fusion, you're not using BlueDragon, that's okay. Don't tune out here because you can still do most of what I'm doing here. You're just going to have to override where I don't have to override. I'm going to implement a method because I'm using an abstract CFC. You would have to override it. So let me close this and let me open up. Now, this new CFC I'm creating called Light Source. Now, again, my type is abstract. On Cold Fusion, that will not work, but that's okay. You would just need to override the emit light method in your derived CFC. Now you'll notice that I declared a type of abstract here for emit light. Now I can have inside of this declaration here any arguments that this method must take. This one doesn't have any because it's going to act directly on the properties of the object itself. But I could put those in there. Now, remember my display light function? That's common functionality here, right? So that goes in the light source parent CFC. So all of my CFCs that are extended off of this CFC will need to do something with emit light, but they won't need to do anything with display light. So what that means is you're going to be able to create an object from one of the derived CFCs, from incandescent bulb or from sun, and you're going to be able to call the display light method on those objects, even though they themselves won't have it. They will inherit it from here. You guys with me? All right. So let's look at sun.cfm in this. Well, actually, I went ahead and called it star.cfm here because the sun is just a star. So you'll see that in here I don't have this display light method. I just have emit light and perform fusion. Those are the only two methods I have in here. But when I actually call this, let's look down here to when I call this, you'll notice that I call variables.thesun.emitLight, so I call the emitLight method of the sun. Now the sun is a object of type star, so I go up in star and I look at my emitLight method and I see that it calls the displayLight function. But displayLight's not in here. Again, it gets that because of this key right here, extends light source. And again, you can use extends light source on CFMX. That's not a Blue Dragon specific thing. The difference is on Blue Dragon, I had to do this. I had to create CF function emit light because this emit light function here isn't actually a function at all. It's not actually a method. It's an abstract method. It is a method, but it's not a fully implemented method at all. It is an abstract method that I must implement over here in the extending the derived class. Or does that make sense, the derived CFC? Okay, so I see the same thing in incandescent bulb. I've got run AC, my function that is used by incandescent bulbs but isn't used by stars, and I've still got emit light, but it's going to do its own thing. It's going to emit light in its own way, and again, it's going to do it by calling run AC. So what I'm getting at here is that I'm getting my code reuse by inheritance. You guys get that? Get the code reuse of the function display light via inheritance. So that's pretty powerful. So let's actually look at light.cfm. We're going to see that I'm just creating these objects at the top, just like we were doing a moment ago. I set their properties, and then I'm able to show them emitting light. All right, so when I go here into 4, I can run this page, and I'm going to get this ever so wonderful display on the screen. But what I want to do now is, okay, I want to add a new light source. And I'm going to be able to add a new light source, and I'm not going to have to modify any of my existing code at this point. So I'm going to actually add the light source. I'm going to show you the code that's already done, but if you do a code comparison, you'll see that I'm not modifying code, I'm just adding code. So I'm going to add this new CFC It's a reflector CFC. This is for the moon, because I now want to do my moonlight. And it extends light source, so it gets that display light function. It inherits that. And it's got its own emit light function. But it's going to implement that in a completely different way. It's going to implement that by calling the reflect light source method. Okay? So, this is new. Reflector.cfm is new. But incandescentbulb.cfc, I should say reflector.cfc is new. Incandescentbulb.cfc did not change. Neither did star.cfc. Light.cfm changed because that's the page that calls this stuff. But light source did not change. Star did not change. Incandescent bulb did not change. I added reflector.cfc. I extended light source, so I got display light source. I implemented my version of emit light for me, for me as a reflector, and I didn't have to touch any of my other code. So when I go back over here into that directory that has that stuff in there, I can call light.cfm, and we'll see on the screen moonlight is output. And to take a look at what that looks like, we open light.cfm. We did not change any of these areas here. We just changed this one here, where we created this moon object as a type of reflector, passed it in some properties, and then down here we just called its emit light function. Does that seem pretty simple? Pretty easy to use? Okay. Thank you. Yeah, and the reason it doesn't matter, actually, it doesn't even matter. That stuff here isn't relevant because I'm not using those conditionals. So that's just a relic of copying and pasting. And making some modifications. So thanks to that catch. Yeah, I don't need that. And I'm not using a bunch of these properties either. I just wanted to show multiple properties, right? So you didn't think it was just one property. Okay, so now let's see how we can use an interface. I'm going to skip to that. I'm going to skip over this stuff here in number 6. But what I did in version 6 of this is I went ahead and broke out AC and Fusion. I don't have reflector in this one, but AC and Fusion, I could do the same thing for reflecting. I broke these out so that something else that needs to run AC that might do it in the exact same way doesn't have to know anything about what's going on with my incandescent bulb. So I can create this object. And in fact, that's what I'm doing in the incandescent bulb this time. I'm now creating an object of type AC, and I'm running AC. Okay, so that was just further code factoring to make my method, the AC method, as flexible and reusable as possible. The big thing I want to show you here, and we're getting close to the end time, is the end time. Yes. This is not an end times discussion. We're getting close to the ending time of this presentation. I want to show you here an interface I created. And it's called UV Radiation. Again, maybe it would have been better named UV Radiator. You'll see that I'm using type equals interface. And I'm using, I need to make it so you can see this, or I'll have to scroll more. Scroll anyway. Over here, I have type equals abstract for this function. I don't actually have to do that when type equals interface, because that's implied. Because again, in an interface, all the method declarations must be abstract. And so I've got one method in UV radiation, which is emit UV radiation. I could have more, but I only have one in this particular case. And when I implement this interface, anything that implements this interface has got to create the implementation of this method emit UV radiation so that I know that anything that implements this interface, again, if I'm testing for the type of this interface for type UV radiation, I know that I'll be able to call emit UV radiation on that object. Okay? So I'm going to implement that on star, and I do it just like this, this top line on the page, implements, and I say what interfaces I'm implementing. In this particular case, I'm implementing just one UV radiation. Now, again, what that means is I had to implement in here emit UV radiation, and so I did it in whatever way was appropriate for this particular object. And the way in this particular information was in this object was to say your bald spot is frying, put on some sunscreen. All right, I'm not quite there yet, but I'm getting there. All right, so the change I made in here to this light.cfm file was just simply to, I still am creating the sun as an object of type star, and what I'm doing now is I am calling on that object the emit UV radiation method. I know that I'll be able to do that because star.cfc, the CFC star, implements UV radiation. Does that make sense? You guys with me? Cool. So when I go back and I run that file, we're going to get output onto the screen, a little deal about my bald spot frying. All right, so I have 5 minutes left, which is just enough time. We already did our interface. This is some stuff about New Atlanta and Blue Dragon. It's available in this presentation. I'm not going to cover that right now because I want to give away some stuff if there are no questions. That's not to encourage you not to have questions. So anybody have any questions, or do you want me to just give away some things?
I have a question.
Uh-huh. There might be. I can't recommend one, unfortunately. It was a question about an OOP with CFC's book. Does anybody know of one? Okay, Hal Helms wrote one called Discovering CFCs. While I'm answering these questions, I'm going to pass out my own version of evaluation forms, which you don't have to fill out, but I'm going to use these for the stuff that I'm going to give away. I'll tell you what I'm going to give away here in our last couple minutes. So if you want to be in the drawing, at least put your name on the bottom. You don't have to fill out anything else if you do not wish to, although your feedback is certainly appreciated either here or on the official feedback form of the conference or on both. And if you would like more information about any of this stuff or about New Atlanta's Blue Dragon product, I'm the guy to talk to about that as well. So I'll give you just a couple of seconds to fill these out, and need one more. And if you want to win one of our prizes, do make sure you fill this thing out. So what the prizes are nothing massively spectacular today, but I do have some Blue Dragon t-shirts. And these are actually leftovers from CF United, so sorry we didn't get any t-shirts made up for this conference. I've got a couple of these in XL and a couple in large. I've got enough koozies for several people to come up and take. I don't have enough for everybody. I've also got a couple of Blue Dragon notebooks, and I've got a Blue Dragon mug and the ever popular Blue Dragon Knight. And I'll pull out of the package here. So if you're not interested in this stuff, that is perfectly okay. And you may go ahead and leave. And don't forget to head over to the raffle. Actually, I think it's going to be right in here. I don't think you have to leave at all. Michael, is there, are the raffle going to be in here?
Yep.
All right. I'm giving away a little bit of stuff right this moment, but you can. I'm done, so you can feel free to come on up. I don't know if the recording's already been stopped. You can have this microphone too. All right. You gonna